So I'm going to go ahead and do that right
now.
And I will share that link when the meeting is over. So I'm going to start us off by welcoming Gerp Diehl, who is joining us from Ohio. Gerp is the coordinator of the Richland County Youth Substance Use Coalition. I got that right. Right, Gerp? It's a mouthful.
You did.
So Gerp and I were introduced by Tracy Johnson, who a lot of you know is one of the trainers that we've worked with over the years. He's done cultural competency training for us and some strategic planning work with us last year. We did that three-part series with him last summer. And, you know, something that I've mentioned before that is kind of interesting with the DFC grant program is that, you know, we go through, coordinators are required to attend a three-week training academy called the Coalition Academy. That's a prerequisite to, you know, once you get the funding, once a coalition receives the DFC funding. So I did that training back in 2018 in Birmingham, Alabama. And I met such amazing people at that training. And, you know, we were in the same cohort. So we saw each other for 3 weeks over the course of that year. And we were able to learn so much from each other, but we were all so new and we really didn't know what we were doing. And so it's kind of, you know, it's unfortunate that there isn't really, aside from just our conferences that we attend twice a year, there isn't really another networking opportunity for people in this in my position to, you know, to talk and to learn what is working for one coalition and what might not be working for another coalition and strategies and things like that. So, you know, I was happy that Tracy reached out and put Gerp and I in contact with one another. So Gerp invited me to speak at his coalition meeting a few weeks ago, and it was so great to meet some of his membership. And so we wanted to invite Gerp to speak today. And, you know, we just want to hear sort of a little bit of information about the coalition and what's worked for you, what you're working on now, what your challenges have been, what your leadership structure looks like. And I'm sure we'll have some questions when you're done sharing. So Gerp, it's all yours. Welcome.
Thank you, Allison, for the introduction, and good morning, everyone. And thank you all for giving me a little bit of time to speak to you today. And before I get started, I'll say, Allison, nothing like a few challenges right before your meeting, right? That's pretty standard. So hopefully some of what I have to share with you guys is helpful for your coalition. And I guess I'll just start with a little bit of background about myself as well as the coalition. So I work at the Richland County Health Department here in Mansfield, Ohio. Mansfield is the heart of Richland County here, and has a population of roughly 45,000 people. And the whole of Richland County is around 110,000 people. So, you know, a good portion of people here in the city of Mansfield. I started working at the health department as a health educator in January of 2020. And what a time to begin working in the field of public health. obviously COVID hit us, you know, right at the end of March, and it's been a lot of that ever since. But as I'm sure all of you know, the work of substance use prevention must go on. So obviously you've seen the insane increase in overdose deaths, you know, the rise of things like Delta 8, Delta 10, which I was unaware of until very recently, alcohol use, and, you know, so on and so on. But hopefully by sharing some information between coalitions, like Allison was mentioning, and working together with a variety of different partners with different backgrounds, viewpoints, you know, we can continue to make important strides in our communities. So to give a little bit of background about the Richland County Youth Substance Use Coalition, it was founded back in 2016. It had some success back then, but lack of funding and overall commitment sort of left it in limbo until the health department applied for and was awarded the Drug-Free Communities Grant in October of 2019. Nothing really happened with that until I was hired in January of 2020, as I mentioned. But obviously, it takes a little bit of time to get trained and acclimated in a new role. And then COVID hit, and essentially everyone here at the health department shifted their focus towards responding to COVID and the community's needs. So we didn't start meeting as a coalition until June of 2020. And obviously that was through Zoom. We didn't have our first in-person meeting until June of 2021. So it's pretty cool to see, though, you know, how we grew over time, even without meeting in person. I mean, until that June 2021 meeting, a lot of us hadn't even met each other in person before. So interesting times. Right now, we are in year three of our DFC grant. We are on the October cycle, so we just got into year three. And I'd say we currently have probably around 30 members, but probably 10 to 15 show up on average. And 15 is probably a pretty good day for us. And I'm not including like myself and other DFC staff or consultants in that count. So let's see, I guess I'll start with some challenges. In some ways, they're probably quite similar to yours from what I've heard from Allison. Obviously COVID, that's probably the biggest one. And time commitments and finding consistent leadership, those have been some challenges for us. We actually, at the meeting that Allison attended back in October, we just elected our very first coalition chair. So, excuse me. On top of that, we have three committees. We have a data and evaluation committee, a prescription drug misuse prevention committee, and an alcohol misuse prevention committee. Currently, only our alcohol committee has a chair and a co-chair. We've definitely had some challenges in trying to get some commitment from the other committees. It's been a work in progress, and we're trying to move forward on that. But again, just with the time commitments, it's been a little bit of a challenge. Each of our committees, as well as our full coalition, meets once a month. And at times it can feel like a lot, given that a lot of our members are, you know, they're on many different boards. You kind of see the same people on different boards across the county, and they can sometimes get spread a little bit thin, but they definitely do what they can. I think one of our biggest challenges thus far has really been the lack of parental and youth involvement. We're making progress on the youth side of things, and a working relationship with the schools is definitely getting us closer there. Parents, on the other hand, in this community are typically not as active in their kids' lives, unfortunately, especially as they get older. The parent-teacher organization at the high school is essentially non-existent. But nevertheless, I mean, in terms of youth involvement, at least, some of the things that we're trying to do to combat that is, especially very recently, is starting to work on some challenges and contests. So we actually just talked about this yesterday during our data committee meeting, but we had set aside some funding for billboards, and we want youth involvement to help design those billboards. And then we want to choose some winners from those submissions. So this is in the really, really early stages, but that's something that we're pretty excited about, you know, not only as a way to get word about the coalition out, but also, you know, have an activity for the youth in the schools to do and, you know, showcase their artistic talents and their creativity. So that's something that we're excited about. And also we spoke with school administrators in regards to having an anonymous suggestion box at each of their schools. And we figured, you know, we could do a little challenge or contest for that as well. You know, have the students design those. I'm sure the students, or the schools rather, would be very proud to showcase that. And there's students who are making those as well. Some of our successes, I would say, definitely getting more involved with community partners. I think that's so, so important, really reaching out to as many community partners as you can and working together with them. You know, whether that's, you know, attending their events, you know, going to school events, things like that, that's been really successful for us. We send out a monthly newsletter and recently we've made a conscious effort to get more people to sign up for that. We raffled off some gift cards, did an article with local media, and were able to get about 20 more people to sign up on that. So that was pretty cool to see. We've also partnered with various community organizations to help distribute doTERRA drug disposal pouches. Are you guys aware of what those are? Yeah. So we, partnered with various organizations and, utilizing pharmacies, businesses, healthcare organizations, going to different community events, really anywhere that made sense. And we're continuing to grow that initiative. Right now, our prescription drug committee is trying to work with, some of the retail pharmacies like Kroger, Rite Aid, CVS. That's been a little bit more of a challenge because they're all saying, hey, you need to go to corporate and ask them. Like, we can't make that decision ourselves. So we're kind of going through some hoops right now, but hopefully we'll be able to get those in place at those retail pharmacies just because, I mean, they see so many patients every single day. And if whatever we can do to kind of increase access to disposal and educate the community, it goes a long way. On the alcohol side of things, we've encouraged involvement from local businesses, gas stations, convenience stores, to hang up posters and hand out fact cards and other information from the Parents Who Host Lose the Most program, which is from the Prevention Action Alliance. But overall, there's still a lot that we need to do, but we're trying to push forward each day. I know you guys are year four, we're year three, so we're a little bit behind you, but hopefully doing things like this and sharing ideas with each other can really help us in achieving our overarching goals. So rough outline of where we're at and what we're working on. If anyone has any questions, I'll definitely do my best to answer them.
Thanks so much, Kurt. If anybody has any questions, please let us know. It's so great to have him with us. So please feel free to ask away. If anybody doesn't have something to start, I'll actually ask your work group model. So this coalition, when we were applying for the grant in 2017, we did use that method of having data collection group and alcohol sub, we call them subcommittees, a youth subcommittee. And we found that everyone kind of was working on the same type of thing. So it got it was, everyone wanted to work on everything all together. So how have you managed that? Has that been an issue at all? What's your strategy for, what's the structure with those subcommittees? Do they meet, separately, you said? Do they have their own agendas for meetings?
Yep. Yeah. So each of the committees meet separately. We generally meet 2 weeks prior to our coalition or full coalition meetings. We do have an agenda for each meeting. I would say we really haven't had too much overlap there. Which is good. And in general, the members that are on one of the committees tend to not be on any of the other committees. So, the committee meetings are generally a little bit shorter, roughly 30 minutes or so. We haven't had too many issues with that. So we're chugging along there. I will say I did like the idea of the ad hoc committees that you guys are using. I feel like in certain situations that can be really, really beneficial. What I like to do is when we come up with the work plan for the year is try to kind of organize that and split it up based on what each committee will be responsible for. So people can kind of look at that and say, hey, okay, so this is what we're going to be doing for the year. And then slowly tackle each of the pieces on that work plan.
Okay, great. Thanks, Gert. Laura, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, thanks. Hi, thank you so much. It's really actually beneficial just to listen to you talk about your process because, you know, even when we're meeting for our board meetings, by the way, my name is Laurie. I didn't introduce myself, Laurie O'Brien. nice You too. But I did relate to a lot of what you said, primarily about the parents getting involved. And one of the things that we did last committee meeting was sort of do an informal poll to, you know, kind of get some feedback from our committee. And one of the things that we confirmed, because we knew it, was that, you know, there needs to be a focus on parents involvement, and really engaging them is something that we talk about it all the time. And one of the things that we spoke about at our board meeting last week was even though it's not, you know, necessarily falling under our umbrella of environmental efforts, but something that we did before the pandemic was do some events. And those are the things that we really got more engagement from the parents with. They want to find out about what's going on. They want to be informed, but it seems like they don't necessarily want to take a stand. And, you know, it reminds me of the Mean Girls movie where Amy Poehler's like, you know, I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. You know, I don't want to really take that stand. And it's also, you know, those areas of it's not my child, you know, it's not happening here, or it's not happening yet. You know, and by the time it's happening, it's kind of too late. So not too late, but it's really an opportunity to, you know, get involved, to know, you know, what things to look for, and, you know, really just how to best support your own family in dealing with all of these things that are out there and the reality of it. You know, and to prepare children to say, you know, it's not if you're going to be confronted with, hey, you want some of this, it's when it's going to happen, and to start those conversations. So, you know, I think just, you know, understanding that there are some challenges in engaging parents, and to really start to think about, you know, not really what we should do, but what's going to work, you know, what's really going to get them, you know, interested in our mission here. What are we doing? Prevention. That's what it is. It's prevention. Where on this spectrum of what we're doing, you know, can we engage them? So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I appreciate your comments, Lori. And I wish there was, you know, a simple answer in terms of how how we get that engagement. One of the things that we've been talking about is really just simply ask them, you know, what is it that you want to see, or how can we help you guys, right? Like, what kind of information can we provide, or services, whatever it may be. And the other thing is, especially now because of COVID, it's impossible to get parents, especially, to go somewhere. So we have to go to where they are. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's not always easy to find where that might be, but that could mean really working more with the different businesses and just the places where these individuals are working, and seeing if we can involve them, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's during their lunch breaks or something like that, maybe something right after work. But yeah, mm-hmm. I really don't have a great answer on that, but, you know, just going to where they are. And I think that applies to everyone too, not just the parents, but the youth as well. Yeah. As opposed to bringing them to a new event, going to an event that's already happening, things like that.
Right. Right. I know one of the things that we've talked about in the past and, you know, made efforts to do prior to the pandemic, you know, was reaching out to sports, you know, meeting them at sports or other activities, you know, dance lessons or, you know, music or whatever that, you know, because that becomes, you know, so that's something that they're already engaged in. So that makes a lot of sense. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely a big sports town here. So, we definitely have some buy-in from like the superintendent and the school administrators on that front and going to, different sporting events. But I mean, that doesn't cover everybody, right? That just covers the people that are interested in sports. So how do we get those other people? It can be tough. And, you know, now as winter is starting to roll around, people are going to be more likely to want to stay inside. How do we reach those people? we just were really going to have to just work hard to get those answers. And I really think just straight up asking these people, how do we do it, is one of the better ways, as opposed to, I mean, yeah, we like to, you know, sit on these meetings and get together and have conversations, which is really, really important. I think you can make a lot of progress that way. But at the end of the day, it's not what we think we should do for the community. It should be, what does the community specifically say that we should do for them?
GURP, I have another question from another one of our board members who is a little under the weather, so I'm going to ask it on her behalf. She said, what is the preferred way for your membership to participate in the coalition?
Do you mean in terms of meetings or just in general?
Or volunteering or helping plan events or how are they involved? Like what's their involvement like?
I mean, to be honest, it's been pretty limited. especially just because we've really only been meeting for about a year and a half, even though we're technically a year three. And a year of that was strictly Zoom. So we didn't go anywhere. So in a lot of senses, we're kind of like just getting started. But in terms of getting involved, I mean, any community events that we want to go to, or, you know, we're always asking different partners, like, hey, is there anything that you're aware of that's going on? Or is there anything that you are putting on? Are there ways that we can help out or other members can attend? And we always try to make it a partnership where it's not just, hey, you're doing coalition work, but you can also share things about your work and your organization, you know, what's going on there. So information that you're trying to get out. So, you know, a little bit of a what's in it for me, if that makes sense.
Does anybody else have any other questions for GURP? We have a couple minutes left before we move on. Nope. Well, GURP and I think are both committed to staying in touch with each other. And I think with the help of Tracy as well, being able to really sort of bounce ideas off of each other. It's great. Like for me, the only coalitions that I work or that I am in constant communication with are in New Jersey. So it's great to talk to a coalition outside of New Jersey and, you know, be able to learn about what's working and what's not working. And even it's so great. I mean, for me, and I hope it is for all of you as well, to hear, especially the challenges, because I feel like, you know, for me, that's what I think about a lot, are what our challenges are, not as much as our successes. So to be able to hear that other people, other coalitions are in the same boat is reassuring, definitely. So GURP, thank you so much for joining us today. And like I said, we'll stay in touch with each other and we'll keep working together. And you're welcome to join us for the rest of our meeting, or you can definitely hop off as well, whatever works for you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Allison. And thank you to all the members of MCC for giving me a little bit of time. Hopefully some of the information that I was sharing today is helpful to you guys in some way. And I do have about 20 minutes, so I would like to stay for a little bit and just kind of see how you guys are running the show before I gotta hop off.
Great, all right.
So thank you.
Thanks. All right, I'm gonna move on our agenda now. I see Heather with us, and I know Heather has to hop off for something else by 10, or you know, before 10:30. So for our sector spotlight this month, and for anybody that's new, we've done this sector spotlight before. We've been doing it for a few years now, where we try and focus on a different one of our 12 sectors for a meeting. So this month we wanted, and we haven't done it every month. It's been a little bit difficult sometimes to get sector spotlight speakers. So, but for this month, we wanted to focus on schools. We haven't really checked in. Well, we've checked in, of course, but we haven't had schools speak at a coalition meeting this school year yet. So we wanted to invite the student assistance counselors from Madison and Chatham to at the high school and middle school levels to share sort of what they're seeing, any general trends among students, any groups that they have running, any events, any help that they might, any support that they might need from the coalition at this point. So we have Heather Marsh from Chatham High School, Amelia Ortman from Chatham Middle School, and Vanessa Morgenthaler was supposed to join us as well, but unfortunately she had a student, a family emergency that she had to deal with. But I do have notes that I'm going to share on her behalf after Heather and Amelia share. So please, Heather and Amelia, whenever you guys are ready, whatever you want to share, please do.
Heather, do you want to go? Is my internet connection really slow?
I keep getting that notification too.
Yeah, so I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yep, you guys are both coming through.
Okay, good. Yeah, I keep getting that the internet is really slow thing here. But I mean, I can go. I mean, I'm unmuted. Hi, everybody. I'm Amelia. So I am in for Alex Mandela. She is the permanent SAC at Chatham. So I'm just her leave replacement. But so far this year, we've had a very busy, exciting year. I've actually been working with Christine McIntyre of Project Community Pride on some groups. We're doing 6th, 7th, and 8th grade connections and COVID groups. So we basically started off the groups talking about COVID and how it affects, like, how it affects the students and their lives, home lives, personal lives. And then we kind of made it into broader topics like what affects kids your age, what, how do you deal with coping skills, what has worked for you. So we've gotten a lot of great feedback from the students. And also, I feel like the students have really enjoyed it and they have made a lot of connections while being in this group because, you know, at Chatham, at least, there's like, lunch is really difficult. You're only allowed 3 people to one side. There's like guards up in the way. So like when you're eating at lunch at the lunch tables, that's what I'm talking about, you can't really even talk to people. So this has created a space where they can come into this room and get to know one another. And I think that's something that is a theme I'm seeing this year. Like people are just having a hard time connecting with one another. And, you know, social skills wise, that's something that we've been working on. In addition to that, I've been running an anxiety group for 6th grade girls, and that just ended yesterday. And that seems to be a big topic too, handling stress, anxiety, being in school full time in like pretty much normal circumstances. And what else? And managing the schoolwork, because last year was way different than this year. So we've just been working on stress relieving techniques and anxiety coping mechanisms, thought distortion. So I'm noticing that the big themes here and what Alex is going to see when she comes back next week is stress, anxiety, and also difficulty connecting with peers in their age group. So that is basically my update for Chatham Middle School.
I just wanted to jump on that. It's been a pleasure working with you, Amelia, and I wish you the best. She's going on to working in a different school district. So, you know, our program really, you know, enjoyed working with the middle school, Chatham Middle School, and we obviously could continue to do so. We will check in with Alex when she gets back, but I wanted to tell you what a great opportunity it was for our staff to work with you. So good luck and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. So thank you.
Thank you, Christine. It's been so awesome working with your whole team. I absolutely love them. And I wish that you were in Franklin where I'm gonna be, because I would love to continue this group with you. So yeah, thanks.
And thank you, Amelia, also for coming to our coalition meetings while you've been here. It's been great to have somebody from the middle school while Alex has been away. So thank you. All right.
Are we doing questions for Amelia? Or are we doing, what do you want to do? Are we going to wait till the end and do questions after Spotlight?
If Amelia, if it's okay with you, do you mind if people ask you questions before we move on to Heather?
All good.
Hi, Amelia. Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm curious about just kind of how how big the groups were and if they were all, you know, how you put the groups together? Were they all like PCP clients, or were they, you know, were, did you kind of advertise in schools, or did you identify people that you said, hey, maybe this would be good for you? I'm curious as to how it was put together.
Yeah, awesome. So in the connections group for each grade, we have like 5 to 6 students. And that was, I really got student recommendations from sending out a Google form to the students. A lot of the counselors, like the House A, B, and C counselors, had recommendations. And honestly, people who already were in the group would bring their friends, or like say, hey, this is an awesome group I'm in. And then we just send the permission slip home and they'd be involved. With mm-hmm. the anxiety group, I had about 9 girls in it who wanted to do it, which mm-hmm. is very big. But we made yeah. it happen. And that was done through a SAC, or through an interest form through Google Forms. And then again, word of mouth too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
Did I miss anything? Sorry.
No, I don't think so. No, I was just curious to, you know, as to like access, because it really seems like, you know, it would be something that a lot of kids might really want to do, but wouldn't seek out necessarily. So it's really, you know, to be able to be invited by a friend, or to say, hey, you know, yeah, I would be interested in that. And someone kind of follow. I think that's great. And it seems like it's really needed. And I think just even, you know, the more it's done, the more people will be, you know, able to do it and be aware that it's available. So I think it's great.
Yeah, definitely. Completely agree. And I think that it could go all year, and I think every kid could be in it and benefit, you know, so it's, I wish I could have a group for the school. That'd be cool.
Franklin School or middle school?
Middle school.
Okay. I know someone at the high school. Mm-hmm. All right. Great.
In Thank Somerset? You so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Cool. Sorry, I'm lagging. So that's why.
No, you're good. Thanks.
Does anybody have any other questions for Amelia before we move on to Heather? She might actually be on a call right now. Oh, no, there she is.
I'm here, Allison. I turned my camera off because my connection is horrible. I hope that's okay. I don't want to like cut in and out while I speak.
That's fine.
I don't want to interrupt if there were any questions, but. Okay, so I'm Heather. I am the new SAC at Chatham High School. Like Amelia said, it's been really great. We've had a busy start to the year. It's really nice having all of the students in person for full days, but that has also, of course, been a challenge for a lot of the students because this is a huge adjustment since, you know, the past year and a half. So we've been working through those issues a lot. We did just have Red Ribbon Week about 2 weeks ago, the last week of October, and that was a huge success. I worked with the Teen Task Force, actually, and they were great. They hosted a resource table for me one day, and they also hosted a trivia game with me at lunch, which had a really great turnout with students, and I think they learned a lot. So that was really fun. And then we also did a healthy coping skills activity during lunch at the end of the week for the whole school so that students could think about, you know, things they can turn to cope with instead of substances. And then in addition, I've been going into health and phys ed classes. We did Sandy Hook lessons recently, which were about, you know, building connections and healthy alone time versus social isolation and what that looks like. And the students responded well to that. We are going to be starting a Wellness Wednesday initiative because the Children's Psychiatric Association, I forget the exact title, they recently declared a youth mental health national emergency. So we're trying to kind of be proactive and get some programming started to help students. So I'm really excited about that. We're going to have different workshops on various Wednesdays throughout the year for the kids to attend. And as far as groups go, it's a little tricky at the high school level because it's a common lunch period. So clubs meet, there are labs, there's a lot of things going on. But I just concluded a connections group, which went pretty well. There were 4 kids in it. But that was, they were identified by counselors at the beginning of the year as students who might be struggling with a little bit of social isolation because of the pandemic. And then in a couple of weeks, I am starting a mindfulness and wellness group. And in the future, based on a survey that I sent out to the whole student body, the groups I'm looking at running would be for students who identify as LGBTQ+. High school experience groups, so things like social media, friendship drama, all of that stuff, anxiety groups, of course. And then there was actually a lot of interest in a group about transitions for seniors. I had a lot of seniors say that would be helpful toward.
Oh no, I think we lost Heather. Oh no, there she is. Are you there, Heather? Can anybody hear her or is it just me? No. All right, well, maybe she'll be able to rejoin us. Her connection probably cut out. Well, Heather, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. So maybe try leaving and coming back in. I know you have to get off in just a few minutes, but if anybody has any, if anybody has any questions for Heather and wants to maybe put them in the chat, we can get those, I can email those to her. And maybe she could share at our December meeting if she can't rejoin us right now. But it sounds like there's a lot going on at the high school and all of those groups sound amazing.
I think I'm back in.
Oh, you're back. Yep, you're back.
What just happened? Hopefully you guys heard everything, but I was just wrapping up. So that was everything I had to share.
Does anybody have questions for for Heather? I see one in the chat. Have you noticed any discernible change in vaping use?
Not really. We don't see too much of it. There haven't been too many reports. And I wasn't here last year, so I don't know what like the last 2 years looked like. We are hearing more about edibles this year. So I think that's becoming a bigger thing because that's even easier to hide than vapes because kids eat like Rice Krispie treats, or I was just at a meeting, apparently Nerds ropes are a thing now with marijuana, and they come with the actual Nerds brand label on them. So I think that's going to be a bigger issue this year than vaping because there's no smoke to even hide at that point. So.
Does anybody have any other questions for Heather while we've got her? And I'll also mention Heather and I talked about trying to think of other ways to engage the Teen Task Force with the work that she's doing at the high school. We met last week and the Teen Task Force, we met last week and they really enjoyed the work that they did with Red Ribbon Week. And I think that they are looking for more opportunities to do things like that. So that'll be something hopefully that Heather, you know, you and I can and the coalition can talk about moving forward. So thank you. All right, if anybody doesn't have any other questions for Heather, I will go ahead and read Vanessa's remarks that she sent me from Madison High School, things that she's seeing. Okay, so just a few updates. She said, I am seeing an increase in students who appear to be struggling with dissociation. This could be from a myriad of factors, including potential substance use, but I'm leaning towards it being a trauma response to the last few years. We are working on a lot of mindfulness, grounding techniques, et cetera, and trying to combat those feelings. She said also that we are seeing an increase again in vaping. And then she said, as feared, I am hearing of an increase in marijuana use along with a decreased perception of harm thanks to the legalization in New Jersey and misconceptions amongst students and parents about marijuana, such as it's healthier than nicotine, it's not addictive, it's not as bad as alcohol, et cetera. She also said that she's been in talks with Generation SOS about bringing in a presenter to speak to our students on a couple of different dates, mostly hitting underclassmen and upperclassmen at different times just due to their schedule and logistics. And she did include the link, which I'll send out as well. She said that they also have a club and organization component. She's hoping that a student is engaged with the initiative though, so that they could start a chapter at Madison High School if there is that interest. She also mentioned that they're looking to bring back Stephen Hill, who spoke at Madison High School 2 years ago. He also spoke at the junior school just a couple of weeks ago. And he talked about his journey with addiction. She said that they're looking to have him come back to the high school to speak to upperclassmen right before prom. She said that he really resonated with the students this time, the time that he was there 2 years ago. And she said that's pretty much it at this point. So again, if anybody has any questions for Vanessa about that Generation SOS, which I will put the information in the chat box right now so everyone can see it, please let me know and I will get I will email her any questions. Just make sure that I have the information right. GenerationSOS.org. Okay, so I just sent out the website for Generation SOS in the chat. So I think that's it for schools. So thank you so much to Amelia and Heather for sharing what you did. I'm going to move us on now to Teen Task Force, who we were supposed to have a video update, but a little technical difficulty, unfortunately. So the video link did not record properly. So Emma Hartnett did provide the video update for this month. She's going to re-record it, email it to me, and I will include it in our newsletter that goes out on Thursday. So I don't want to speak on their behalf. I'll just speak for myself and Kiana and let everyone know that we have been meeting with them regularly. We're so happy with the work that they did on the homecoming initiative, but we'll let them talk about their perspective of their initiative in the video clip that they provide. We are moving on to Night of Conversation. We're in full Night of Conversation planning mode right now with Christine from Project Community Pride. And it's so funny, we had a meeting with the team, Christine and I both met with the Teen Task Force last week, and we had questions that we were prepared to ask about as part of Night of Conversation, and they just flipped everything upside down on us, but so rightfully so, and they gave us such good feedback. So we're back to the drawing board on the questions that we're going to include with Night of Conversation. Christine, do you want to add anything about Night of Conversation while we're on it?
Well, I mean, just that, you know, I feel like we're really going to make this a very interesting program this year, I think for sure. We have this idea of, well, with the help of Teen Task Force input, but we're going to be doing kits that go out to families that want to participate. And I just am really excited to be working with MCC on this. So we had some ideas about questions, and actually the great young women who are on the Teen Task Force gave us some suggestions about you know, trying to make it a little more friendlier and warmer and more for, so that was really helpful to get their input. So I really am excited about the program and the project. So I'm looking forward to us sharing even more the next coming weeks. We'll be meeting and getting, you know, getting more kind of specifically the questions and how we're going to set up the kit. Correct, Allison, all of that?
Yeah. And I just, for anyone that isn't familiar with Night of Conversation, just very briefly, Night of Conversation is an initiative that was started in 2015. I think it was 2015 by Dr. Oz. The main idea behind the initiative is to open the lines of communication between parents and kids about substance use, and to just kind of get them talking about substance use. We have, the MCC and the Y has worked together, Project Community Pride. We've worked together for, this is going to be our fourth year doing Night of Conversation. We started by doing doing 2 years of in-person events and inviting families to come to the Y for dinner and conversation. And we had staff facilitators that helped facilitate those conversations. And then 2 years ago, we moved to our podcast format, which sort of launched our podcast series. We found that people were more likely to listen to something on their own than come in person. So taking that a step further this year, I think every year that we've done this event or this initiative, it's changed, it's evolved to kind of meet families where they are. So this year we're literally bringing Night of Conversation to families and dropping it off on their doorstep, and asking that they participate that way. So, but it was interesting what Heather just popped off, but something that Heather said before about there being an interest in high school students about transitions. That's actually something that we talked about last week at our meeting with the Teen Task Force about Night of Conversation. You know, a lot of the questions, the way that the questions were worded, and these are questions that we've used for the past few years with Night of Conversation. Questions like, you know, what do you hear about substance use in your town or in your community and in your school? Just very, like, you know, blunt questions that, you know, we got the feedback that we got from the students, from the Teen Task Force members, is that they were not warm, you know, they didn't think that they were going to spark conversation with their parents. Even some issues of, like, you know, if a parent started having this conversation or signed their family up for this initiative, it might create some distrust amongst teens and parents, or with teens in particular, that, you know, parents didn't trust teens. The feedback that they gave us too is that they want to expand it to really focus more on mental health issues as well. So we're in the process of including those questions. And it was so telling that they were the ones that really brought that feedback to that meeting. Keeping in mind, of course, that the initiative does focus on substance use in particular, but that's not to say that we can't broaden it to include, especially when we talk about things like co-occurring disorders and things like that. We should be open, you know, if they want to talk about this, then we need to be ready, and we want to be giving parents the tools to help them talk about this with their kids. So that's kind of where we are right now. We'll definitely have more information coming out in the next couple of weeks with registration information and things like that. So they'll talk about it in their video as well when I share that link on Thursday in the newsletter. Anything else, Christine, about Night of Conversation?
You know, one thing I just wanted to remind everyone is that the switch really was, is that when the families were coming in, we had like an outside person ask the questions. So now we're actually asking the parents to ask the questions. Right. So there is a little bit of a tone change in that for sure. But I feel like we're going to get it. We're going to get the essence that, you know, hey, we're here because we want to communicate. What are some tough topics that mom and dad should be talking to you kids about, you know, kind of a way to roll into the heavier subjects. So that's kind of what the way I'm seeing after hearing the feedback we received from Teen Task Force. So it's going to be really exciting. So, you know, we're going to really roll up our sleeves the next couple of weeks and get this kind of going. So.
Great. Thanks, Christine.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to move us on to just a couple of very brief MCC updates. And then talk and then open it up to any other sectors that have any updates that they want to share. So Nixie, unfortunately, is out this week. She's dealing with a family emergency. So I'm going to update, read her update for everyone. So we are in the process of, she is in the process currently of re-engaging. We're focused right now on faith-based organizations. So Nixie has reached out to pretty much every faith-based organization in Madison and Chatham over the past week. So what we're looking to do is share information about the coalition. We're looking to find out what issues different churches are dealing with, what they know about the coalition, information that we can share with the coalition or with the church and congregants. And then also trying to brainstorm some ideas about ways that we can work together. So services that MCC can provide to the church and its members, events that we can have, information that we can get out, and things like that. So far we've had a pretty good response from various churches. Just, you know, we have a couple of calls set up to share information. We actually have one tonight with Bethel AME Church in Madison, just to share some information about who we are and what we do, to learn more about what they do, and more about, you know, who is in their congregation and what we might be able to provide to them. So, you know, we're excited about just engaging some people from the faith community, communities in Madison and Chatham. It's something that it's kind of been a gap for us for several years. And a lot of coalitions have mentioned that that's, you know, faith-based is difficult to engage just because of the type of work that they do and how busy they are, you know, but also coalition work. And faith-based organizations, we are very well aligned in some of the types of issues that we do deal with and the types of services that we try to provide. So that's what we have going on the recruitment front. Another update about Hidden in Plain Sight. I know every month it's a new update, but we are finally set December 9th at 7 p.m. We are doing a virtual Hidden in Plain Sight. So we've gone back and forth with Madison Public Schools about in-person, not in-person. We are working with the DEA agent that we have worked with for the past three Hidden in Plain Sight events, Tim McMahon, who a lot of you probably know from, he's been speaking all over the place actually for the past few years. He's actually spoken at some conferences that I've attended. But he's so great. And now this will be the third time that he's doing this event in our community. So, it's virtual. Like I said, he has recorded the teen bedroom, mock bedroom setup. He walks everybody through, it's a pre-recorded, walks parents through the different hiding places and, you know, the different types of devices and things that a parent could find in a teenager's bedroom. And then the second portion, I think it's the second portion of the event is him doing a little drug trends presentation, and that will be live. So an opportunity for parents to ask questions and things like that. So we just got confirmation right before this meeting started that we're good to go on that date. So I'll be creating the flyer, creating the Eventbrite information, the Zoom information. It will be registration only, just so we have an idea of how many people to expect. So I will get that out within the next 2 days so that we can start getting parents registered for that event. It is 18 and over, so parents only, for obvious reasons. We don't want kids getting onto this call and finding out all of the hiding places that they could use in their room. So excited about finally getting that solidified. I'll also say that for our December meeting, later this week, we have Kelly Keck coming out for a site visit. Kelly from Epiphany. She is going to be coming out to start creating our plan for our competing continuation application, which the NOFO has not been, the Notice of Funding Opportunity announcement has not been released yet, but they expect sometime in February or March, which means that it would be due in most likely in May. So we're just starting to take, you know, the preliminary steps that we need to take to make sure that our application looks good. We're going to be working on our data collection plan, particularly our qualitative data collection plan, and start pulling the resources that we need to really bulk up our application. So that is happening. We're going to start that process on Thursday. And then what my goal is for our December meeting is to make it, I'd like for it to be in person if possible. And I'd like for it to be a working meeting. So to break into small groups and really start working on our action plan that's included in that competing continuation application. So really trying to reassess where we are right now with the pandemic and where our different sectors are and creating, you know, starting to lay the groundwork to create our action plan for next year, for year 6. So more information about that after I meet with Kelly on Thursday. Yeah, that's kind of where we are right now. November and December typically are a little bit quiet.